Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. Go online to REWfinancial.com. We're in the Chateau. Home sweet home here in the Chateau. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Keywords, 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin Herr in the house, grumpy as always.
No, I'm not grumpy. I'm not grumpy. It's Thursday. I'm getting better. I'm feeling good because Friday's next. And then there's a lot of games on Saturday and Sunday. Just not going to stay up tonight to watch Thursday night football because it's just too late.
Grumpy.
Well, I don't think it's grumpy, though.
All right. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. We're a half hour away from the Kevin Herr rant of the day.
Now that might be grumpy.
Ramblings from an angry man.
Maybe I should. Oh, hey, I have to work up a theme song. I think I got one.
Great. We can all hum it.
I'll play it for you in a little bit.
All right, let's bring in Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror. Corey, welcome. Great to have you with us, bud.
That's okay. Today's my birthday.
Hey, all right. Happy birthday.
I get to say, I'm a man. I'm 40. I've been looking forward to that for a while. We were out with the kids at Cracker Barrel, so
well done.
Birthday lunch.
Well done. I hope it was good.
Did they sing to you?
Yeah. It's Cracker Barrel, Steve. Come on.
Well, of course it's Cracker Barrel. Of course it's good. but we want to know if they sang to you.
They did not sing. We're going to do that at our family birthday dinner a little bit later on tonight. Right. But like I said, I'm 40, so I finally get to join the Mike Gundy I'm a Man club.
Way to go, Corey. How much did you enjoy just being a witness to Saturday night?
I thought it was fantastic. It was just incredibly entertaining football. I don't know that we saw great football during the overtimes with a lot of the mistakes, but the drama I thought was edge of your seat drama. You know, Penn State took the field a couple of times, you know, really just about to lose with some of these field goals, and all of a sudden they miss, or there's a block and then they miss 33-yarder. Just great, great drama. And I think all of us as sports fans, we just want to see, and Steve, this is right up your alley with David Ortiz's grand slam. We just want to see fun finishes and exciting games. That no matter who you're rooting for, that's always memorable.
I think that's one of the reasons sports has become so popular on TV is that you don't know because there's no script. And I think that's what has drawn people to watching sports is that, yeah, you see great feats, great moments. Sometimes you see a flat game, okay, but you also, there's no script. You don't know. And I think that's one of the why sports is doing well now on TV.
Well, just keep in mind, and I know you've talked about this throughout the week. I've been off this week, so I didn't get a chance to talk about it on the show. 23 seconds it took Penn State to move the field and score the tying touchdown. 23 seconds. Think about that. I mean, that is, it's an incredibly short amount of time to do what they did. And you know, maybe I'm alone on this, but I think that 23 seconds was every bit or even more important than what happened in the overtimes. Because once you get into
I agree with that.
Yeah, the overtimes were kind of frantic and a lot of things happening, but the metal, the moxie that Penn State showed in those 23 seconds, taking the ball over at 50, with 50 seconds and scoring with 27 seconds left, I just thought that was tremendous mental toughness, because I had just written going into Saturday, Steve, what is Penn State's identity? I don't know that we knew Penn State's identity But I think those 23 seconds define their identity as, you know, just like last year's team. They're not going to let adversity sink them.
Because of the time of the game, which started at 5 o'clock and then ended up going past 9 o'clock, did you have any deadline issues? Did you have to write some things ahead of time?
No, we're fortunate. We don't really have to be finished at the Altoona Mirror until after 12 o'clock.
Oh, good.
It helps when your boss is also on the beat with you.
Is sitting next to you. Yes.
Yeah, in Neil Riddell. So we have some deadlines, but flexibility. But we're really fortunate because a lot of papers in this country have a 10:30, 11, 11:30 deadline. Our deadline's really more in the 12 to 12:30 range. So we just got to sit back and enjoy it. And that, to me, again, you know, that's what sports is all about. You just want to sit back, enjoy a great finish, enjoy, you know, a memorable situation. The Allen Robinson catch, we'll remember that for 30, 40 years, Steve. I mean, that's how significant,
agreed,
you know, that catch was.
Yeah, agreed. Absolutely agree with that. The next week when they play Ohio State, it's an 8 o'clock start. How much are you going to have to fight it then, and how do you handle that?
The deadline stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, those kinds of stories, we don't really go down and get quotes or anything like that, because from a reporter standpoint, once the game is over and then you got to go down and get quotes and get back up and type those in, you're talking a 30, 40-minute ordeal, so we don't really have time to do that. I'll just write the story from the press box, not go down and get comments. Maybe they'll pipe through Urban Meyer, and I doubt they'll pipe through Bill O'Brien, but, you know, you try to listen to some quotes in the press box. But I actually don't mind the late games. You know, it's for us as reporters, we kind of live for that deadline stuff. So it's fun to challenge yourself to get finished, you know, when you have 5-10 minutes.
How clever do you have to be, though, in writing the story? Because you have to piece some of it together as the game goes, right?
Yeah, and my personal style, I generally don't write anything until the game is over.
Okay.
Now, I have a scoring summary that I'm keeping track of. I have some pretty detailed scoring summary with how all the points are scored. So my game stories, I don't put how points were scored. I don't do the typical game story. I try to write kind of a feature story off the game. But, you know, for an 8 o'clock game, you don't really have as much luxury there. So you kind of have to stick to more of the basic stuff in that kind of game story. But, that's why I love the 12 or the 3:30 games, because you can really sit back and I'm usually one of the last, if not the last person to leave the press box, because, you know, it's fun to me to kind of just enjoy that writing process, you know, try to give the reader more than just what happened in the game, try to paint a little bit more of a bigger picture of how the game goes forward. And like off Saturday, like I said, I wrote that Penn State found their identity in those 23 seconds, because I thought that was just, you know, incredibly significant 23 seconds for this entire season.
And what is your defined identity of Penn State football now?
I just think mental toughness. I think, Steve, they looked bad for the fourth quarter. They looked okay for the first three quarters against Indiana. They weren't terrible, but they looked bad in that fourth quarter. Lesser teams with little or no leadership would have come out against Michigan on Saturday and folded. And especially down 34-24, lesser teams would have folded. You know, this team, there may never be another Penn State team that has the kind of leadership that last year's team has.
Mm-hmm.
But the leadership and the mental toughness, I thought, really showed up, you know, late in that game and in overtime.
Now they're at the halfway mark. So now it turns to the second half of the season. With that identity now in place and the opportunity to maybe reinforce it, how do you view the second half of the season?
Well, Ohio State's going to be tough, you know.
And everybody knows that. I mean, I think, I think it's safe to say that in a lot of ways they can out-talent some people on their schedule along the way. They just have that much. There's a depth of it.
And if I can add to that, they had 61 scholarship players and beat Michigan with 85. I mean, just how amazing is that in and of itself? But now they're going to go to Columbus, and Ohio State has talent. If they lose the game, I'm not saying moral victories here, because I don't believe in moral victories at this level of sports. But if you play competitive and you give a good effort for four quarters and you do some good things on both sides of the ball, if you lose the game because they're better than you, then you tip your hat. And maybe, I know this is hard for Penn State fans, maybe you hope Ohio State runs the table and represents the Big Ten, you know, in a good way down the road, because the conference really needs Ohio State to finish strong, with Michigan losing now, Northwestern, Wisconsin's already lost. So, but I think what you really want to come out of that game, Steve, is healthy. You know, you're going to be facing bigger, tougher, faster, stronger athletes than they've really faced for the most part this year. And you can't afford any more depth issues. You don't want to get anybody hurt. So you go in, you play a tough style of football. You see how your offense matches up with them. If you steal a win, then great. If not, you know, you play hard, you come out healthy, and then I think they can beat everybody else on the rest of the schedule. Mm-hmm. Now, Wisconsin's going to be very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. But if they play well, they can beat Wisconsin. We saw that last year. I think they can beat Nebraska. It's not out of the realm of possibility that even if they lose to Ohio State, they can run the table the rest of the way.
Okay. You spent one weekend, I know, with a chance to watch a lot of college football. Is that the game plan this weekend?
Oh, I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm on vacation. There aren't a whole lot of great games, I would say, this weekend, but it is one thing that is fun for us to do because, you know, when we're working, and you're like this, Steve, I don't know how much college football from around the rest of the country you get to watch on a Saturday, but I don't generally get to watch hardly any.
Yeah, not until I can see the late game usually. Yeah. Like if it's a noon game, I can get a good look at the 7:30 game. If it's a 3:30 game, I can maybe get the second half of one. But Florida State Clemson is the one, obviously, I'm intrigued in this weekend.
Yeah, that could be the Heisman winner there. I have a Heisman vote. Right now, I would vote for Johnny Manziel, and I'm not going to pull any punches about that. The guy was a one-man show against the best team in the country. And if they run the table, then it's going to be hard for anybody to beat Johnny Manziel just based on his accomplishments. But Jameis Winston from Florida State, Taj Boyd from Clemson, those are front runners. Marcus Mariota from Oregon is another front runner. To me, I'm kind of looking to see how some of those Heisman guys fare in some of these bigger games that are coming up, and again, especially Florida State, Clemson.
Hey, Corey, happy birthday. Enjoy it. You, the kid, your wife, enjoy it very much. Enjoy the weekend off, and thanks for covering on a few minutes.
Hey, always enjoy the time, Steve. Enjoy the day.
You too, Corey.
Corey Geiger. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on Pre-Auction Blowout.
Like a 2010 Ford Escape XLT, one of the most affordable fuel-efficient SUVs, just $59.95. A one-owner, newly inspected and fully serviced 2012 Ford Focus SEL, $13,998. 2010 Dodge Nitro SE comes with warranty. Lowest price promise, $17,989. 2011 Ford F-150 XLT, an outdoorsman and contractor's choice, just $29,494. And a 2012 Hyundai Sonata 2.4-liter new tires, just $14,993. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Give a moment or two to the angry young man with his foot in his mouth and his heart in his hand. He's been stabbing the back, he's been misunderstood. It's a comfort to know his intentions are good. And he sits in a room with a lock on the door, with his maps and his medals laid out on the floor. And he likes to be known as the angry young man.
The number one performer in the history of Madison Square Garden.
That's true. And he did the first and last concerts in Shea.
Billy Joel. Number two, Elton John at Madison Square Garden. They have numbers retired for them at Madison Square Garden.
And that's hanging up there in the walkway that you were telling us about a couple of months ago.
In the rafters.
Yeah, in the rafters. Well, I wasn't sure if it was a walkway or rafters.
Yeah, rafters.
I think that should be my theme song.
Maybe we'll sure.
We may have to edit out the angry or the young part.
I mean, whatever conveys your bitterness, and whatever conveys your bitterness, I mean, that's that is the theme of what you do. 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. Tony in Shamokin. Hi, Tone. Good to hear from you.
Good afternoon. I was rewatching the final touchdown of Penn State, Bill Belton's touchdown.
Yes.
And at number 35, the fullback.
Pat Zerbe.
He threw one heck of a block.
He pancaked
that
him.
That enabled that play. He did.
Yeah, he pancaked
him. What's his name?
Pat Zerbe.
He's a walk-on, isn't he?
He is a walk-on from the Lancaster area.
Wow. I mean, that play was as good as any other play, his block. Now, he deserves as much credit for that win as anybody.
He does.
I noticed Penn State is talking about scheduling LSU at a neutral site. Mm-hmm. Other than Alabama, has any SEC Southeastern Conference team come up to Penn State to play?
No. They were scheduled to play Tennessee in the 70s, and they played the first two in Knoxville, and then Tennessee mysteriously canceled the last two. In the 80s, they were supposed to play a home and away with Auburn. Auburn again canceled out. Florida has not played a game north of the Mason-Dixon line since 1965. Georgia, you've got to be kidding me. Now, Kentucky has done it. Now, Kentucky's from the SEC. Right. They did a home and away with Penn State in the 70s, but that's Kentucky. It's not one of the powerhouse teams of the SEC, so no, they have not done it.
Well, when they played Kentucky in the 70s, that was probably the best team Kentucky ever had.
Derek Ramsey was the quarterback, played in the NFL with the Raiders, and Art Still was a first-round pick of the Kansas City Chiefs. He was outstanding. They beat Penn State in 1977, 24-20, and then Penn State the next year went down to Commonwealth Stadium, won 30-0.
But wasn't Penn State up in that game 17-0?
I don't think so, Tony. They were up early. Then Kentucky came back. Then Jimmy Cephalo ran a punt back for a touchdown to get Penn State back in it, but could never get over the hump. It was the only loss they had in 1977.
Isn't that amazing? I'd ask Kevin a question. Kevin, the Chickalimmie teams, which one do you think was the best in their history?
Oh, wow. That would be a better question for Coach Hort, actually, because I think you'd have to go back into the early 70s probably, and maybe even a little earlier than that, but I would say it would have to come from that decade and that era.
I would think it would. I would say it was the 65 team, the championship team.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said. You'd have to go before me, but he would. You know what? We may pose that question Friday night and try and get an answer for you.
Hey, that'd be great. Well, listen, I'm coming in to call when there's always a cop down here, so I got to put the phone down.
So. That's okay. I understand it's only illegal if you're texting in Pennsylvania. You can be talking, though.
This is Coltmont.
I forgot there's certain rules in Coltmont. Yeah. In Coltmont, there are certain rules, man.
Can't spit on a payment on Sunday.
That's right. Hey, Tony,
hey,
thanks.
Have a nice day. Take care.
Thanks,
bye.
Tony. Appreciate it. 800-795-9565. I think for State High, the best team they ever had was the 73 team. Coached by Jim Williams, they won the mythical state championship. Matt Sui was the tailback on that team. Jim Williams was the coach. It's probably the best team they've had here.
Yeah, I think Tony's probably pretty close. I would have to say it would be, like I said, the late 60s, early 70s. You'd have to go back into that era, and you could make a case. There's a couple of teams you could make a case for there. There were a lot of good Chickalimmie teams in that run.
I know at my high school they're still waiting. 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565 is the number if you'd like to jump in. Love to hear from you. On this Thursday afternoon, the rant of the day should be another beauty. Thursday night game tonight, the Seattle Seahawks-Arizona Cardinals coming up this evening from Glendale.
I'm putting Rice on the bench for this game.
Does Rice know?
Well, listen, the way he's played, I don't think he really cares because he hasn't really shown up.
Okay. Well.
Well, I mean, his numbers are somewhere around the line of atrocious right now.
Where are you? Just a bitter guy. Why don't you root for your teams or something?
Well, I am. I mean, guy's got 12 receptions, 181 yards, and only two touchdowns. 12 catches.
But it's a disgrace.
Then again, this is a team that doesn't really throw the, what are they, third from the bottom in passing attempts this year?
feel you act like they're disappointing you.
Yes, they
are. Then write Pete a letter.
I mean, it's okay if you have running backs as your player, but if you've got a receiver as your player, forget it. I think the best game he had was the Jacksonville game where he caught 5 passes and 2 touchdowns. And by the way, the only 2 touchdowns he had all year so far.
Wow, you're just an angry guy. 800-795-9565. Obviously, somebody is not winning their fantasy league right now.
Against Indianapolis, he had a massive 1 reception for 8 yards. And then actually got, I believe, minus points for me last week against Tennessee when he caught 2 passes for a whopping 35 and then fumbled.
Once again, repeating, obviously somebody is very bitter and not winning their fantasy league right now.
Somebody is in 4th right now, sitting on the bubble, trying to burst the bubble and get up instead of drifting in the mediocrity of the middle.
Well phrased. News next, bottom of the hour. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. Or you can go online to REWfinancial.com. The rant, 10 minutes away, but news first here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can go online to REWfinancial.com. Great to have you with us. I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio, and here at the Chateau, it's brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. The rant of the day coming up. It's been building into a crescendo. Kevin, of course, bitter about his fantasy team. There's some issues there right now.
Yeah, there's issues, all right.
We did talk about something I thought it was interesting earlier. And that is about the multiple use of different helmets in college football. I said, you know, your son's in 9th grade. I mean, does he think something like that's a recruiting advantage? He said, yeah.
Yeah, I think if you're doing one every game, I think that goes a bit too far. But to have a special helmet and or uniform combination for homecoming or senior day, yeah, I think that's intriguing to young players.
It's more than just that. I mean, they're doing every single game, it seems like, a different uniform. Indiana has 6 different combinations. Arizona State has 4. Maryland has 4. North Carolina, 6 different combinations of helmets and so forth. There are 2 sites, and these are hobby sites. One is called thehelmetproject.com, and the other is MG Helmets. The 2 of them would put up helmet updates. You know, they date back to the 60s, and they give you the history of a helmet of a particular team or whatever. And what they did was they ended up, each individual, stopping the sites in January because they said there were so many new helmets, updates, things like that, they just gave up on it.
Well, you know why Maryland has so many helmets?
Well, that's because of the Under Armour thing. I mean, that's, you know, that's with the uniforms and so forth.
Because
the graduates from Under Armour.
They're just ugly. They're the worst uniform combinations. And I understand what it is. It's the Maryland flag. I get it. But it does not look good on a uniform at all.
I'm telling you right now, the Maryland flag isn't very attractive then.
It's okay on a flag, not on a uni.
Not a uni? No. But they've done all of this stuff. And they say it helps them in recruiting. Well, maybe it does. I'm older. So since I'm older, I'm not going to be able to relate to this. Younger people will. Paul in Danville might be able to answer it for us. Hi, Paul. Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Yeah. What I wanted to say is the best game Chicklin ever had was the state playoff game, which was played at Bucknell. And I believe the year was 1970, if not 71. And they played Steelton. And I don't know if you remember Chuck Smeltz. That year that Chuck Smeltz, they won the championship 3-0 by, it was the last play of the game in the fourth. Yes. And he kicked, what was it, a 51 or 52-yard field goal, which was the longest in high school history.
That would be the toe, Chuck Smeltz, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know what the longest one was, but yeah, that actually came up earlier this year when I inadvertently said that Chickalamy was playing at Bucknell for the first time.
Yeah, great. I mean, I was at that game. It was freezing cold, but wow, was it exciting. I mean, that was good football.
So that's the best one you ever saw, huh?
Yes, it was.
That's great. Sounds like a great game.
Now the next best one is going to be tomorrow night because I'm a Danville Ironman.
I see. All right. So it's getting a little exciting there. I like it.
Yep. There's going to be a big crowd there. Everybody's looking forward to it.
Well, these are the fun games. I know Kevin's really looking forward to broadcasting it. But like, the bigger the game, there's much more fun when it's a bigger game. No question about that.
Yep. So I'll be listening to him announce it while I'm at the game with my earphones in.
Great.
I think he does a better job than you just do get over the loudspeaker.
Oh, no, there's no question about that. Kevin's the best high school play-by-play announcer in the state. So,
absolutely. Hey, well, I just wanted to let some information out. And great show.
That's
guys.
Cool. Hey, that's great. Thanks so much for the call. Added a lot, Paul. Appreciate that.
Okay.
Our number 800-795-9565, and now we have reached that moment as we build to a crescendo. We now unleash the bitter man.
Well, let's talk a little golf. Brad Snedeker,
and the show's over.
Brad Snedeker recently said in Golf Digest, as he was talking about slow play, he had a way to resolve it. Tiger Woods, in an interview, also said he had a way to resolve it. Tiger's idea, who, by the way, is not the fastest player on the PGA Tour right now, he said, well, it's easy. All you have to do is start finding guys. So here's one of the richest golfers in the world saying that you should find guys for slow play. It has worked so well in the NFL to find players for targeting helmet-to-helmet hits, roughing the quarterback hits, things like that. That has worked so well that let's move it to golf and find multimillionaires for slow play. Brad Snedeker has the best idea. Instead of finding the money, penalize them a shot. Hey, guess what? You've had your two warnings. Now you're lying too. That will make players play much, much faster than asking them to write out a check, because that check just doesn't have the same impact as a stroke will that may actually cause you to get a smaller check instead of a bigger check at the end of the tournament. By the way, Tiger also says that, you know, his play, he usually can get 36 holes in under 3.5 hours, and he's played 18 holes no problem in under an hour, but it does help to have a cart. It also helps if you hit every fairway and every green, where most of us golfers don't and can't relate to playing 36 holes in 3.5 hours.
Well done. I mean, so you're saying that finding them is ineffective.
It's a useless, ridiculous idea.
Well, I mean, I agree with Brian Snedeker. Penalize them strokes. I mean, that's where it actually does hit them in the wallet as well as...
That's exactly right. Because now, if you're lying two on the 17th approach and you need a birdie to get into the lead, guess what? You're going to have to sink that one from there to have a shot. And that's going to make you play faster, especially if you... And I think you need to give them two... I think you need to make a warning system like a three strikes policy. The first warning, the second warning, and then the third one, it's time. But I think the marshals are going to have to keep an eye on it a little closer, and they're going to have to be a little quicker on the warnings as well. You can't wait until the 17th hole when you've seen slow play and then give a warning. I think you need to give warnings right out of the gate, starting from the first hole, if play is too slow. When they get to the third one, then it's going to cost you a stroke, and then it's going to cost you a smaller check come at the end of the tournament.
I also think that you can't allow a hole and a half to open up. I mean, I, I think once it becomes a hole and a half, with if you're in the tee and the group in front of you is in the next fairway, I think at that point it has to be automatic. I mean, that's what I think.
The other thing is, how many golfers do you have on a regular Saturday afternoon if you're playing all foursomes, say? How many golfers would you have on a regular Saturday afternoon?
Jeez, Kev, I don't know. I was going to go out, literally, I was going to go out and play a Power 9 tomorrow night. I really was. And then, well, no, as you know, I had to cancel it for unfortunate reasons. But there are fewer and fewer people playing the game. And one of the reasons that there are fewer people playing the game, too, I mean, obviously there's an expense involved, especially in equipment. I know I told the story about breaking a 5-iron on a shot. You know, Dave Baker and I always laugh, oh, in a fit of rage. It was, you know, and the reality was I was trying to just punch a shot into the fairway next to a pine tree, and the shaft hit the trunk of the tree, and it snapped the club. Well, I can't just go out and buy a 5-iron. I can't just do that. I have to replace the entire set of irons to do this, which I'm going to do. I'm going to do that. But it's going to cost $500, $600 to replace the entire set. So there's an expense of that, and it's also, you know, it's also more of an expense to actually play around and, of course, get a cart. And I love the game, as you well know. I love playing golf. But one thing that the pace of play has got to be better on your municipal course. It's got to be better at your club. People want to be able to hit a shot, walk up, look at the shot, and hit the next shot. They don't want to go up, hit a shot, wait. Okay, they're finally down in front of us. Okay, everybody hit. Bang, 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 bang. Then you go up. Oh, great. Now we got to wait here, you know, at the next tee. And you wait. And people don't like that. You don't want your round dragging into that 5-plus area if you're playing 18 holes. Now, Dave Baker and I one time, I met, you know, referenced Dave a couple times here. Dave Baker and I one time played a round. It was a Saturday afternoon, and for whatever reason, we were able to, they sent us off on the 10th tee. We played the round in 3 hours and 20 minutes.
I think that's a good time.
And the two of us had a great time. Both shot good scores, but never stopped. There was not one point we stopped. And I think one of the reasons we shot good scores is that we were able to go up in rhythm and just hit the next shot, boom, put it on the green, take a look at it, try to make a putt, sink it, tap in, whatever, go to the next tee, right up in the next tee. Hey, Dave, it's your honor. Boom, he hits. I take out my club. Bang, hit my, you know. And we kept on going and going and going. And, it, you know, we both ended up shooting in the upper 80s, I think, or something like that, which is a decent round. It's not awesome, incredible, but it's a decent round. Mid to upper 80s, okay? You know, but we never stopped. And we played 3 hours and 20 minutes, and we were done. And it was as enjoyable a round of golf as I've ever had.
Well, I did some quick math. If you put four guys on a hole for 18 holes, you end up with 72 players. There were, I believe, 93 players in the 2013 Masters. You mean to tell me with staggered start times, you can't get through 93 players in a day? I mean, you're having trouble?
Who had trouble with that?
No, I'm saying that with slow play. You're having trouble with slow play with just 93 players. I can understand if you're on a regular course and there's 72 players on the course, because they're not all going to hit it in the fairway. They're going to have to look for lost balls. They're going to have to take extra shots. But 93 guys can't seem to get through a round of golf in a decent amount of time, and they're professionals. There's an issue there.
It's a problem. And again, I think if you are hitting on the tee and the group in front of you is in the middle of the next fairway, I think it has to be an automatic stroke. Automatic for slow play.
Yeah, but then how do you police that? Because what if you're in the middle of the fairway because the guys are on the front of you or on the green? And then, you know, the backlog could be a couple of holes.
No, I'm talking about you're on the tee and the group that is in front of you is in the middle of the next fairway.
Oh, okay. All right, I didn't hear the next part. that makes
right.
sense.
In other
that
words, makes sense. It's, okay, I'm teeing at 5.
Right.
Right? You're getting ready to hit your second shot at 6. That's a hole and a half. At
right.
this point, you should be penalized.
And pro golfers, there's no reason why they can't be hitting the ball off the tee when there's another group on the green. You know what I think part of it is? This is just my opinion. I think part of it is some of the golfers are waiting till the crowd noise dies down from the green next to them before they tee off.
This is the other part I don't get. Why do you need silence when you hit a golf ball? I mean, it's not moving.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something, and okay. I know it's gonna make you chuckle.
Torrey Hunter last night was trying to hit a fastball from Jake Peavy that was coming at him at 94 miles an hour, and the crowd's is doing the wave.
Wasn't quiet there. You know, we used to say the same thing, growing up being a bowler for years. We used to watch a lot of the PBA tour, and it was always silent when the guys were bowling. Why? Why was it always silent? It's never silent when I'm in my own home alleys. It was always really loud and noisy. Music was in the background, and Lord knows what else was going on behind you. But it always had to be silent. Well, then they came up with this arena bowling theory where they had more crowd, and now it's actually like being not comparing the crowd sizes, but noise-wise, it's like a football game. There's always noise going on from the time the guy hits the approach to the time the guy throws it. Why do we have to be silent in golf?
I don't quite get that. And then I'll tell you right now, a lot of fans of the U.S. Open were infuriated by what I'm about to say. The rule was on crossing fairways was that you had to wait for the pro group to go through the walkway. And once they got through the walkway, then you could, I'm talking like 20, 25 feet beyond the walkway. They opened up the walkway, you could go through. Tiger Woods hits. I'm going to say it was the fifth hole. He goes to hit. Goes through the walkway. Okay? I'm in this group standing there. They won't let people through. Nobody can move.
He's already through the walkway, though.
Right. He's already up to his ball, which is up near, he had it in the fairway in the trap. He ended up bogeying the hole. He ended up bogeying every hole that day. But, there's no difference between that and all the other ones. He ended up bogeying the hole. Well, he was in the fairway just to the left of the trap, looking up toward the hole.
What was the reasoning?
And they said that they put in a rule, an informal rule, but a rule for the tournament that they were not to let people through the walkway until after Tiger hits his second shot.
Oh, so there's a Tiger rule.
And you sat there and went, I said nothing. I'm not going to say anything, but the people around me, Kevin, were infuriated.
I would be.
Because they're trying to do is to get over to the next hole or whatever. I was trying to work my way over to the hill at 9. So I could watch 10, 9, I could watch 4, I could watch 5, 2. There's so much you could see from that hill. It was just a good observation point for me that I picked out in a practice round. That's all I was trying to do. But I said nothing. I just stood there. But the people around me, Kevin, were infuriated. What do you mean, get away? He's standing way up there. He's 200 yards away from us right now. What do you think we're going to do, charge? I mean, this guy was like, you think we're going to charge up the hill to get him?
Well, you know what else I was always taught when I was first playing golf is to stand not behind the player swinging the club, but behind the ball, which is basically where you would be about 100 yards further back. So why would that be an issue for Tiger's vision? Does he have that good peripheral vision that he can't focus on a white dot between his feet?
I have no idea.
I don't understand that.
But they said that people were not allowed to move behind him until after he hit a second shot.
Oh, boy.
And I stood there and I thought, I'm sorry, you can't do this for him and not do it for, pick Brant Snedeker.
Anybody.
I mean, you got to treat them all equal. I mean, I know he may draw a bigger crowd, so what? Yeah, he didn't exactly put on a performance for the ages either. All right, we'll come back and wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
REW Financial believes in the value of total commitment. We are a working family who strives to prove strength of character by staying independent and core focused. REW has a commitment to the community and the financial needs of our clients. Let us design your portfolio or retirement strategy. REW Financial Lewisburg, the power of freedom. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners Financial Services.
Is that covered under insurance when you go to the hospital? I injured my spleen. How did you do that? What were you doing?
That's calling a game? That's a Roger question. That's not for me.
I was just calling a game. No, I didn't ask him if it was workman's. That might be workman's comp. I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Thanks to Jim Kaiser for being on the show today. Josh Bramween, women's ice hockey coach, and also Corey Geiger, all for being on today's show. We appreciate it very much. Also, the phone calls. Several really great phone calls during the course of the show today. Appreciate that very much. Be back tomorrow. I will probably not be a part of the mix on Monday. So my father-in-law passed away last night. So with that, I did sneak away. What I did I was on the phone with Kevin and Bob on Monday, and that's what I was doing. I snuck up to Hartford, and I spent 2 hours with him. And in fact, we even watched a little bit of the Penn State-Michigan game. And he was in tremendous spirits, but I also knew it was the end. But I spent 2 hours with him, and it turned out that he passed away last night. They're still in the process of making the arrangements, but we will be with you tomorrow. And I think in all likelihood I will not be a part of the mix on Monday. So once I find out, I'm waiting, so to find out what the deal is going to be. So my thanks to Kevin and Bob for the great job they did. And our thanks to Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. You can go online to REWfinancial.com.